Hello, everybody. It's Meg from Meg's Pet Spa. We're here with another podcast, and today's a really exciting podcast because we're talking all things hormones. We have with us today Sam Cole, who's one of my nurse practitioners here at the spa, who I've had the pleasure of working with for many, many years, as well as the one and only Pamela Hetrick. Pam has been a midwife now for, she just said, 22 years in May, yeah? And so Pam is the all intensive guru who knows all of this, who has guided and led Sam and I through all the BS, everything that's out there, what you need, what you don't need. And anybody who's had the pleasure of meeting Pam, being provided by Pam, being delivered by Pam, can all agree that you want to tune in because she is, I love that as a midwife. You're somebody who I believe isn't, you know, who's more into what can we do and think outside of the box and get to the root cause without making people go, you know, through extensive lengths. So we are very excited. Welcome.
Thank you.
All right, Pam. So what I would like to do first is if you could let our audience know, let's just start off with the benefits of hormone replacement therapy, but you're also going to explain why we will call it MHT.
You're showing your age, Sam and Meg. So yeah, the new lingo is MHT for menopausal hormone therapy. And there are so many benefits to MHT. It's not even funny.
Wait, I have to interrupt you. So tell me, when you call it menopausal, what do you do? What do they call it for men? Totally separate.
Menopause. No, I don't know.
So they're probably still saying hormone replacement therapy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, yes. But for women, so you'll hear it both ways. But, you know, like anything in today, especially medicine, there's acronyms for everything. So it's hard to, I was curious. So.
Yeah, yeah. Good to know. Yeah, I call it menopause because we know that men go through it. But the benefits of MHT, first of all, is you literally think that you're going crazy. You question yourself. You don't feel yourself. And you want to get back to that point where you kind of felt like you are balanced out there. And so, you know, a lot of times people come to you because they just feel off. And I go over with them that the number one thing that MHT does besides make you feel better is that, you know, we have to worry about our bones as women. If you think about two old people at the nursing home and one's a male and one's a female, and they both fall, who's going to sustain that hip fracture?
Yeah.
And it sure as heck isn't the men. Actually, when we go through menopause, perimenopause, men have more estrogen than females, which really...
Yeah, you taught me that. That was surprising.
I know.
That was really surprising.
I know. So we've got bone protection. The FDA still hasn't cleared that there is cardiac protection, but there are a lot of studies underway that talks about that it is protective for the heart. It is not protective against dementia or Alzheimer's yet, but we do know that when you're going through everything and you're not sleeping well and you've got brain fog, you literally do feel like you're going crazy and you don't feel like you can cope with things well. And let's talk about hot flashes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let me back up for just a second, too, because don't you think that there's a chance as we continue, as hormone menopausal replacement therapy becomes something we have more data on, is what I'm getting at, in years to come, there could be studies saying that they could help with Alzheimer's, dementia, et cetera, which, you know, I think is part of the problem with cardiac, right? I mean, this, we don't have a lot of data on this. But the data that keeps coming out is showing more and more benefits, right?
And there's emerging data from somebody sitting here who's doing her DNP very dumbly.
God,
you know, they
you.
Call it
a bless you.
They call it a terminal degree for a reason. It's either it or you're going to die doing it. But I think that there is a lot of research that needs to be done with calcium CT scoring and women that are on MHT because incidental findings that I see is that people who are on MHT usually have a cardiac CT score of zero, which means that there has to be something behind it.
Yeah.
It's just they've not
they
studied it.
Yeah. I also think, obviously, as we know, research continues to come out as for years, this wasn't a thing. You couldn't get it. You felt like no specialist would touch it. You had to spend thousands of dollars to go to a functional medicine doctor. And by then you just say, forget it. This is just, the change. This is just, you just got to bear through it, but you don't. And so now that more and more women aren't, and men are realizing that they have this support out there for their hormones, you're still going to go through it. It just doesn't have to be as terrible and can actually have more positive benefits to you than negative, where I think a lot of people think of hormone replacement or menopause replacement therapy as, cancer driven. So people are, you have half people that are ready to just jump full in because they can't stand, low sex drive, husbands bitching, soaking their clothes through the night, all of the BS that comes with it, hormonal acne out of nowhere, whatever. Add all that up, and then they might just say, I'm ready. I don't care. This needs to go away. Then you have other people who are terrified of it. So how do you handle when someone comes in and they're like, they're afraid of cancer and we know you can do these safely and effectively if done correctly. So it really is just education. But do you feel like you see a lot of women afraid?
Oh, well, you know what? There's a large portion that come in that are burning their bra, and they are coming in because they've talked to somebody who has had a life-changing moment on it. But then you have the patients that are scared because of what the WHO did back in 2003, where they said everyone needs to come off of it, and they didn't look at conjugated estrogen versus estradiol, which is something that our body produced. And so there's a lot of fear with it. But I go over, I kind of change the way that I do annuals, even on my 21-year-olds. And I think sometimes people think that I'm doing a judge on how much they're drinking alcohol, but there is a correlation that you will increase your risk with more than 7 alcoholic drinks a week by 38% by your alcohol consumption for breast and colon cancer. It's something that is the awareness is emerging, but I talk to them about that and I say, this is why I ask this, because when people come in and I say, what do you think about hormones? And they say, well, I don't want to get breast cancer. And I'm like, well, really, some of the environmental stuff, some of the stuff that we can control does increase your risk. And estradiol does not increase your risk. If you have a personal history of it, there's other things that we can use to help you cope with your hot flashes, things like that. But by far, estrogen is your BFF. It is what your ovaries have produced for years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, when them suckers start to dry up like little raisins, you start to feel the effects, and it's not fun. Yeah.
It feels like there's times you do feel like you're going crazy. And my favorite thing about this is that more and more women are talking about it. I think women talk more vulgar than men, and we share everything, thankfully. But especially within this space and at the med spa here, but also in your space, in your field of women's health, it's really important for us to carry out these messages. I know they come in here, and it could be whether it's for weight loss or they're just getting a chemical peel, or they talk to us about everything. It's like in a hair salon, and you're women. So you relate, and you want to say, like, we're all in this boat together. You're not alone. My hair is falling out too. Or, I have a client the other day sitting here crying about her hair and all the symptoms she's telling me. I said to her, this sounds more hormonal. She went to a dermatologist, and they sent her down a different road. And, and it is very tricky to figure out sometimes, is it autoimmune? What are all these things that are causing all this? And a lot of times it's something as simple as fixing your testosterone, something as simple as, and just going to the right person that is not going to say, okay, we need to run a gamut of labs. We need to, you're either going to spend, $500 to $1,000 out of pocket to get these results. And then what do you do when they're normal? So as far as that was something else that I thought was really important to share is, the recommendations of how to manage symptoms rather than labs. So you don't run labs, or you do on testosterone.
On testosterone, yes, only if I'm going to initiate testosterone, definitely labs. But how dismissive does this make you feel when you go into a provider and you say, I don't feel good. I'm having hot flashes. I'm having this. And somebody draws all the labs and might be using a specialty pharmacy to draw all your labs, and they come back normal. And you sit there and you look at those and you're like, this,
yeah,
I am crazy.
So right.
And so the whole thing with NAMS, which is North America Menopause Society, is they kind of align very well to the fairy midwife kind of role, is that we listen to the woman, we listen to the patient, and we treat their symptoms.
I love that. Because as a provider too, I mean, your labs are going to change day to day,
daily.
Week to week.
Yep.
Depends on where you're at with your cycle. Exactly. Exactly. So that's so important.
Plus, I think the important thing is too, you know, obviously we know with big pharma and healthcare, it's down to the bottom dollar. So there's a lot of places that don't want to touch it because they're not trying to manage your hormones. And they're there for annual sick visits, whatever. But there are the providers that want to do what's best for the person and just make it simple. You don't have to spend a ton of money on labs. That's, I think, the most important piece. I've met so many women that say, I need to get my labs drawn. Nobody will draw my labs. Or I finally got someone to draw my labs and everything was fine. Or, you know, they just feel like they're going crazy.
Yep.
But the amount of women then, on the flip side, that have said to me, oh my goodness, I started testosterone and I am literally night and day person. That to me is game changing, life changing. You can get it from your pharmacy. Like that stuff is covered. That's just, it's a no brainer. And I hate that people feel so alone in this space.
Yep.
Because you don't have to be. We're all literally going through it at this age, right? And it's going to continue. So there's just so much education to be had around it. I think just out of, you know, fear or bad press or personal stories, or somebody'd say, well, my doctor told me. And, you know, some of those practitioners, providers, they're old school thinking, and that's okay. That's their safety net. And, you know, but there's new data and research to show, as you know, and have talked about, that that's not the correct way to do things anymore. And that's healthcare. Everything's
right.
Evolving, and it should be easier and smoother and not as expensive as it is.
Oh, yeah. And the, you know, getting to the testosterone, it is considered off-label because it's not FDA-approved for women, and we have to give it in a much smaller amount. But literally, you can go to your provider if you find somebody who will listen to you, and I think that's the biggest thing, is that if somebody says they don't believe in hormone replacement therapy or menopause replacement therapy, or they don't think that you're a good candidate and you've never had breast cancer or been diagnosed with dementia or have had a heart attack or had a blood clot, you are a good candidate. You just need to find somebody who's comfortable in prescribing. But, you know, the patients that I prescribe testosterone for is a once a week gel. You run it through GoodRx. It's $32 and it usually lasts you about 4 to 6 months.
That's amazing.
And it's controlled, right? The biggest thing that we know is that there are FDA approved hormone replacement therapy, MHT, that goes through your insurance.
Yeah.
Right. And so some of providers out there are pushing pellets.
Yes, pellets are a huge thing right now.
Pellets are a huge thing, and they're a huge profit for places that place them. But remember, you put that pellet in and you start to have bad side effects from it because you have no control over how it releases, when it releases. You could have very high testosterone levels, and there's no way to get that thing out.
Yeah.
And so you want to do something that you've got control over. And the biggest thing is with estrogen, with progesterone, with testosterone, if you don't like the way it makes you feel or you're having certain side effects, you take it off and you're done.
Yeah.
It's kind of like for people who are on birth control pills and all of a sudden they're like,
this one's not agreeing with
you. Yeah, this one's not agreeing. You stop it. It's out of your system. The problem is with some of the compounded stuff that is very, very costly. Is there's no control over it. So you don't really know what dose you're getting.
Sure. I think it's really interesting because I know in aesthetics, it's growing faster than we can keep up with. But the newest wave is these hormones, the pellets, so many people are getting healthier, which is incredible. And they're taking care of their bodies and topic for another day. We know sometimes medicine world doesn't like Americans healthy, but I think that's where it's very important for practitioners, you, myself, Sam. We're the nurse by trade also where we have that compassion to feel like, no, this is crazy. This doesn't have to go be this way.
We have to help.
We have answers. What is the easiest, least, you know, path of least resistance to fix someone? And it shouldn't cost an arm and a leg. Like, we're all just doing our best to get by in life. And someday it's over. We're just here for a blip. So, like, fix it. Make life is so, so hard right now. You know, Americans, we run in, like, a rat gate. You travel anywhere outside of the United States, they're the most chill,
yep,
laid-back humans on the planet. We are just hustle, bustle, yes. And so imagine what that's doing internally. So, you know, you're not going crazy. You are absolutely spot on. When you think something's off, it is off. So trusting yourself is huge. But yes, finding like the right provider. And I can personally say I feel very blessed to not only have Sam back with me, but I know you and Sam have even longer history of working together back at UH. And just to even have that additional support and resource from somebody who works primarily in women's health is even more important to us. And I think just really cool for patients that want to come see the three of us and know between the three of our brains, we're going to figure this out.
Yeah. And Sam was my old student. And yeah. So she, mm-hmm. She got the best of Pam Hetchup.
Yeah.
where I was like,
ENP.
Exactly. I was like, hey, what are you doing here? Yes. This is what we do. And it is thinking outside of the box. It definitely, you know, I think me being in this role for 22 years, my patients are 22 years older. So you think about somebody who was 30 that I took care of that has stuck with me. And there are some people that have stuck with me.
Oh, yeah.
Now they're in their 50s. And so, you know, I remember when I was a new midwife, and that was back in 2003 when they yanked everything from the women's health study. I was like, hormones, menopause, hell no, do I want to touch any of that. And
well,
now
it's the world of the unknown and there's so many factors, but.
And then you go through it yourself.
Yes.
And you have those feelings of craziness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my husband swears up and down that they should sell what they put me on in a vending machine.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I bet everyone would say.
Yeah. Because it was like literally to the point that I just wanted to internalize that I wanted to choke the living, you know what, on everything. Everything annoyed me.
Yes.
I didn't feel right. And then to feel back in your own skin was amazing. And I feel that I am here to help other people feel their best 100%. Self.
Yeah, can't gatekeep these secrets.
Nope.
So if anybody has any questions regarding hormone therapy, or MHT, feel free to send us a message. We are also going to be getting into our male hormones here very soon, as well as this. But we are offering consults now to come in and get your full history, go through everything. There are what I have found, and I know you have seen, can agree, most people don't add it up themselves, right? So they come in and they think because of this one thing. When you go through their entire history, then they realize, wait, I do have that too. Oh, I have that too. And they're like, oh, crap. Now, you don't put it all together, nor should you have to.
Right.
But when you sit down and map it out for someone, it's almost like it does the work for you.
So I had the pleasure of coming to the Galentine's Day event that was hosted by Meg's Med Spa. And I sat with these ladies who were freaking hysterical. And one of them looked at me when I mentioned something about menopause, and she's like, what's up with my dry vagina? It's like the Sahara Desert. And I'm like, yep. And nobody talks about that.
And I love that she had the comfortableness to say it, you know, because we're all thinking it. And then you're like, oh, thank God I'm not alone, you know?
And people think like, I just need to put more lube on. I just need to put more lube on, which, you know, might be fine. But then you get into that pain cycle where you don't lubricate because you know it's going to hurt. And so then you don't want to have sex because your vagina is dry and it feels like you've got a yeast infection. So what do? People call their primary and they say that they have an itchy vagina. And so they get thrown Diflucan or some sort of antifungal, and it temporarily gets better. And then all of a sudden, bam, they're back to feeling like their vagina is so dry and itchy, and you can have this weird freaking discharge that nobody talks about. But there is help. There is vaginal estrogen that can also help you when you keep getting told that it's yeast and it's not yeast.
And let's be honest, we all need sex. You don't feel like yourself? Guess what? After you have sex, whose endorphins are up? Who suddenly feels like, okay, I'm good? So that's preventing you from having sex. So you even feel worse on top of your hormone swings. So you need, one thing leads to another. And there's solutions so that we don't have to go through this is, I guess, the point of all of this.
Absolutely. All right. Well, we have given everyone a lot of information today. Shared a lot of stories. I love it. This has been great. So basically, we want to see you. We want to talk to you. We will make appointments work. Please feel free to reach out to us at the spa. We're open to do in-person, virtual. Yeah, let us know if you have any messages to send us, any questions, concerns. We're here for you. We're really excited and eager to help you out.
And I will say, as Sam is my old student, which I threw her with a lot of experiences in the office, some of them that were uncomfortable to her because we're going into territory that we don't know, she is more than capable and willing and excited for all of your hormone needs. So I endorse Sam.
Okay, thanks for listening, guys. We look forward to all your questions and seeing you here at the spa and fixing those dry vaginas. Yeah, hot flash. Yes, have a good Easter.